Well, we're here again.
We are indeed. Welcome, everybody. If you're still hanging on in there.
Good job.
We're proud of you.
Well done.
Well done.
Five stars.
Full disclaimer, I think I'm having hay fever today, so I might sound all nasally. But I'm going to not blow my nose loudly into the microphone.
Well, I feel a little bit this might be the episode of disclaimers, because you have a snuffy nose. My throat and chest are a bit sore, because I was wheezing all night. And this could be our longest episode yet. So we're not prepared.
No.
This could be our longest episode. This may end up getting split into two episodes. We don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
We just have to decide what's going to work best.
Yeah, you'll know before we know when you're listening to this, oddly.
Yeah, we're just figuring it out.
Yeah, we're going to work it out. It's fine. We've got this. So welcome.
We're four episodes in and we still don't know what we're doing.
To episode, I almost said episode five. Oh, God.
Well, it might be. It might be four and five.
It could be four and five. We're not sure. We'll just welcome you to episode four for now.
Welcome to the Generally Spooky podcast. My name's Ailey.
I'm Kieran.
I don't think we've said that in any other episode.
No, but no time like the present.
Well, weirdly, you're listening to this several weeks from now, but it's Easter weekend.
It is.
And Kieran and I just swapped Easter eggs.
We did. It's very nice.
I got super tasty.
Mini egg Easter egg, which is behind me.
Large mini egg Easter egg.
It looks really good.
Mine's better. I got a Lindt chocolate bunny. And it's amazing. I've already eaten its ears.
It is true.
But I had to stop before recording. Because I already can't speak very well and chocolate's not going to make that any better.
No, a claggy chocolate throat.
It's so good though. I was just saying that the only time I have Lindt chocolate is at Easter. And it's having these little bunnies. Love eating these little bunnies.
We've seen quite a lot of bunnies around. I saw a bunny in my dog walk yesterday. And there's one ran on the road when I was driving along today. Luckily, I didn't hit it, so that was fine. It ran off the road again.
Well, do you know what's nice? Is that we're now in the time of year where the days are getting noticeably longer. Mm. The clocks went forward. And we're not living in eternal darkness anymore.
Yeah, eternal darkness in lockdown was just a bit much.
Yeah, lockdown's really starting to ease. And the weather's getting better. The days are getting longer. So much nicer.
Yeah, and we're quite far north. So it was sunset at like sunrise at like half nine and then set to like half three.
In like winter.
In the deep, right now. In deep winter, yeah.
Whereas now we have sunlight until like 7 or 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's so much better.
I don't think we're that far north. Like, how do people do it in like Shetland or Norway or Iceland?
Well,
or
yeah, like Iceland. Well, remember when we went, it's so early.
Yeah.
We went in September and the days were short.
They were very short days. Very strange.
Also, you should definitely go to Iceland. If you're listening to this and you haven't been, when lockdown is over and you can travel again, you should definitely go to Iceland.
You should.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. And they've kept COVID completely under control because they're great and they have a smaller population. So it's even safe to go there. They just might not let us because we're not safe.
They just seem so much better at everything, don't they? In Iceland.
They do.
They just do everything better.
Yeah.
They do people better. They do landscapes better.
Better volcanoes.
Better yet.
Do you know what they don't do better, though? It's the fact they have that app that you put in two people's names and it tells you how related you are. Because Iceland was a pretty small island that was cut off from the rest of civilization for quite a while, that there was not a lot of options. So someone made this website using all the, like, genealogy stuff so that you could check whether or not you were too related to someone you were trying to hook up with.
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, they don't do that better.
I had forgotten about that little tidbit that we found out.
Yeah, that was on a Walk Iceland tour.
Grim.
He told us that.
Just grim.
Does that have anything to do with today's story?
Absolutely nothing.
Good.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely nothing. Today, we are going to be talking about Glam's Castle.
Glam's Castle?
Mm-hmm. Glam's Castle. Now, it's spelled G-L-A-M-I-S.
Oh.
But whenever I was hearing people talk about it, and then in several places they've actually given the pronunciation, and it's Glamis.
Not Glamis.
No, Glamis.
Well, Glamis Castle sounds more familiar. Like, I think I might have read that on maps or signs or something.
It's a very famous castle. But if you're in Scotland and you haven't heard of Glamis Castle, it's somewhere to know about. It's very significant. Like, everyone knows Edinburgh Castle and, like, Stirling Castle, but this one isn't based in a city, but very historically significant, and it's been around for a really long time.
Hmm. Where is it?
It is down in Angus, near Dundee.
Okay.
We're down there today. So it's not just outside Dundee, but it's in that council area, so the south-east of Scotland.
Is that where Aberdeen Angus beef comes from? I'm genuinely asking.
Well, what's the first word?
Aberdeen. Yeah, but Angus, Dundee, they're kind of towards each other on the map, I think.
Really?
My geography's not very good.
Oh. Aberdeen is much further north.
Hmm. You know, it could have been someone called Aberdeen in Angus, not someone called Angus in Aberdeen. I don't know. Stupid questions are us over here.
Well, do you know what? Why don't you do your own research, and the next episode, you tell me where Aberdeen Angus comes from.
No.
How about that?
No.
Because, you know, I've got 30 pages of research here, but I do not know where Aberdeen Angus comes from. I always assumed Aberdeen, and that the Angus was just the breed of cow.
That makes more sense.
But I don't know. I don't know. Are you ready to get into it?
I think so. Well, what do I know about it? Nothing. Nothing about Glamis Castle.
So you have no preconceived ideas at all?
Nope. No idea.
Okay. Well, it's a bit different because in the other episodes so far, I've told you about a particular event or one mysterious thing that happened at some point in history, and that's fun. But today, I'm going to tell you about Glamis Castle and the history of the place and all of the sort of spooky, mysterious things that are associated with the castle.
That sounds fun.
So we're going to look a bit at the history first, because it's really interesting, and then the spook.
Hmm.
So we have history and then spook.
I mean, I'll let the sound of that.
Okay.
I'm here for both of those things.
Okay. Well, that's good. And this is our first castle episode.
That's exciting.
So, yeah, I'm excited because you can barely throw a stone in Scotland without hitting a castle. But they're everywhere.
They are.
And yeah. they're all interesting. They all have really long history because so many of the buildings are so old here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Glamis Castle has the reputation as the most haunted castle in Scotland.
Ooh.
But I'm sure lots of castles try to claim that, so, I mean, take it with a grain of salt, I guess. I'm sure every castle wants to be able to say that about themselves.
Do you think it's like in the movie Elf, where he finds the sign saying world's best cup of coffee? You did it, guys! And it's just a cup of coffee.
Well, from what I've read, they definitely have a compelling case.
Hmm.
But I'm sure a lot of castles do. So yeah, we're in Angus, down near Dundee, and since 1372, so over 600 years ago, this place has been the ancestral seat of the Earls of Strathmore and Kinghorn.
Huh.
Very fancy. We're dealing with, you know, high society in this episode, quite a lot.
Gross.
The aristocracy. But, like, the proper aristocracy, if you will. So, yeah, this is the base for the Earls of Strathmore and Kinghorn.
Okay.
And the Lords Glamis. Or not Glam. Lords Glams. So I've only read it so often doing the research, but that's going to happen a lot. Lord Glams. So there's going to be a lot of people who are all named Lord Glams. I'm going to try and keep them straight. But
that makes sense.
We're currently on the 19th Lord Glams. So, bear with me.
We can do that.
I'm going to do my best.
There's Strathmore's bottled water company in Scotland. You get bottles of Strathmore water. I wonder if that's around there. If they're the Lords of Strathmore and King something.
Maybe.
King's Landing.
Kinghorn. King's Landing. Don't make things even more confusing. If we start getting into Game of Thrones, then we're descending.
Do any dragons attack this castle?
No.
What about... I forgot what they call now. Winter Walkers?
White Walkers.
White Walkers.
No.
Oh. I'm less interested in this.
Don't say that. There's 30 pages. You can't lose interest now. Well, to try and reel you back in,
mm-hmm.
if you're a fan of the bard, Shakespeare, you may already be familiar with the name Glamis Castle.
Oh.
Do you want to have a guess at what the link is between Shakespeare and Glamis Castle?
Is it the castle they say Macbeth lives in?
Yes. Well done.
Thank you.
I didn't know if you'd get that.
Yeah.
We've seen Macbeth, but I wasn't sure if it would stick in your head.
Oh, well, maybe that's why I know the name.
Mm. I know, but I didn't think you'd remember.
No. And it's all in Shakespearean. I didn't know a lot of what was happening.
It was good, though.
It was really good. That was a National Theatre production they showed at the cinemas.
Well, yeah, in Macbeth, or I was going to say maybe I should call it the Scottish play. That's what you're supposed to call it. But I think that's only in the theatre you're supposed to call it the Scottish play.
And it's too late now. We've said it twice.
Well, I guess that's true. Well, in Macbeth, Macbeth lives in Glamis Castle.
Mm.
And Glamis Castle and some of the history around the castle inspired the play Macbeth. Obviously, he took bits and pieces and made a better story out of them than the truth. But
naturally.
Yeah, that's a big claim to fame there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that.
We'll get into it a bit later on, but there really was a King Macbeth of Scotland.
Oh.
And he's known as the last Gallic king.
Hmm.
And he really did kill his cousin to become king.
Oh, wow.
So we'll get into it a bit later, but I thought you'd want to know that while we're talking about the play, that was taken from largely truth.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. But I think as soon as you're dealing with royalty and power, there's always a measure of murder and betrayal involved.
Yeah.
I think it just comes with the territory. I think it's what people do once they have power.
I think so. It does tend to be. Especially in olden days.
Mm-hmm.
Is the forest in Macbeth inspired by the Cawdor Forest?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cawdor Woods. Which is what we live beside.
Yeah, we're quite near there. It's very spooky.
So yeah, I think they're travelling. Like, they move around, because I think initially Macbeth is the Thane of Cawdor.
Oh.
But then he kills the king. And then he lives in Glamis.
That makes sense.
I believe. It's been a long time since I've thought about the story, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I'm pretty sure he starts as the Thane of Cawdor.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the spooky woods that move in Macbeth inspired some of the stuff in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the Ents.
The Ents.
The trees.
And the trees that come in front of Helm's Deep when all the Uruk-hai are escaping. The woods that move the Hurum or something. Hurum.
Kieran and I are both huge Lord of the Rings heads, by the way, so
we really are.
This will probably happen again.
Yeah, we'll get too into it on an unrelated subject. So, Glamis Castle.
Well, like I said, I'm going to try and give you as brief a history as I can get away with of the castle. There's a lot happening, and I've tried to pick out the most interesting bits. And then I'm going to tell you about the spooks.
I do like the spooks.
So yeah, I hope this makes sense, and I hope it's still okay that this episode's going to be a little bit different. But it's the only way I could sort out in my head to organise all of this information and have it still make sense.
I like that.
Okay, you ready?
No.
I'm going to start anyway.
Okay, now I'm ready.
The first stories from Glamis Castle are from about 1,000 years ago.
Wow.
Which is insane. And this is how Macbeth is tied to Glamis Castle. So in 1034, King Malcolm II was King of Scotland. And he was supposedly murdered on the site of the current castle by Macbeth, who became king.
Okay. I was thinking that's before the castle.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
It's on the current site, so there was a... How rude. So there was a castle there, but the current castle was built a bit later.
That makes sense.
It was built on top of and things like that. But yeah, that was 1,000 years ago, nearly. Yeah. Macbeth killed King Malcolm, who was his cousin.
Jeez, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I've got it in my notes here, which is a little side note. I love that I can talk about Scottish history and say something happened 1,000 years ago.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's insane.
That is insane.
1,000 years ago.
1,000 years ago.
Almost exactly. We're in 2021 now, and that was 1034. Madness. So then, in 1329, so 300 years later, Robert the Bruce was King of Scotland.
Okay.
After fighting for Scottish independence and, like, fighting at Bannockburn and all of that stuff that you know a lot about if you're in Scotland. But what you might not know is that his rise to the throne was also a little shady.
Oh, yeah?
As it always is. But he, at the time before he became king, he wasn't the only eligible person to become king. So Scotland was kind of without a king, and the important people of Scotland, so like landowners and things, were coming together to try and choose who would be king, because they wanted an independent crown. So they were trying to find who was the most eligible and who had ties to like the old royal line and things like that. Who was the legitimate heir kind of thing. And there was Robert the Bruce, but there was also another man called John Comyn, who was related to the Balliol family. And well, they were just like part of a family that was descended from royalty, as far as I could tell. And Robert the Bruce killed John Comyn in a church.
In a church?
Yeah, eliminating his rival and becoming king.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot more brutal than just him stoning around singing, "I just can't wait to be king."
It's pretty brutal.
That is brutal.
I'm pretty sure he stabbed him. He stabbed him in a church.
In a church.
Yeah. And then everyone just kind of glossed over it. It's like, well, like, you need to be king, so we need to just move past it. And he became king.
Wow.
But the reason I bring this up is that when Robert the Bruce became king, he seized Glam's Castle from the Balliol family and brought it under the protection of the crown.
Very nice, very nice.
Bit sus.
Yeah. bit of a weird one.
Bit suspicious.
Mm.
So that was why I bring that up. He took Glam's Castle from the Balliol family, and then he owned it, basically.
That's wild.
Yeah. Then later in 1372, so 40 or 50 years later, King Robert, as he was now known, King Robert II, I think.
Not King Bobby. Or King Bobby, if he was in Glasgow.
Oh no, we're 60 years... No. No, we're about... I can't count. For about 40 years later, King Robert II made a man called Sir John Leon the Thane of Glamis.
Hmm.
So he gave him this title. He got the land and he got the castle. And Sir John Leon is the ancestor of the current Bowes Leon family that still has the castle.
Wow.
So remember I said in 1372, it's been in the family since then? This is why.
Jeez-o.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. And, you know, I was talking about the Iceland having that app. Well, if we're getting into royalty, there's probably a similarly applicable app you could use.
I didn't want to see it. I just didn't want to.
You've kept it in the family for 700 years. Gross.
Anyway, Sir John was pretty cosy with the royal line, and he married King Robert's daughter. So they were living at Glam's, and it was all fine. But yeah, the same family has had the castle since then.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, completely insane.
So now, in my continuation, I'm just picking out, like, key dates instead of saying everything that happened. So we're jumping again now to 1445.
1445.
And we're talking about Sir John's grandson. So we're talking about Sir John. He got given Glam's. Now we're talking about his grandson called Patrick.
Hmm.
And Patrick was made the first Lord Glam's.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't have the title before.
There were thanes before.
Yeah. But he was made a lord because he was made a peer of parliament. Mm. So he became a lord. And I've got a little explanation about how that all works for people who might not live in the UK. But I'm probably not going to explain it well because I'm incredibly biased. Because I don't think the House of Lords should exist.
No.
It has no place. So I'm going to...
buy your way into it.
Exactly. I'm going to try and explain it. But I don't agree with it. But I need to explain it because we're talking about lords.
Mm.
So basically, people can become members of the House of Lords by inheriting a title or being made a member by the Queen on the advice of the Prime Minister.
Mm.
So there's a few different types of peers in the House of Lords. You can also become a member if you're like high ranking within the church, and I'm assuming the Church of England
probably
rather than all the churches, because like the Archbishop and things like that. You can become a peer that way. But the titles, they can be passed down through families. I think there's 92 hereditary peers in the House of Lords. So that's being given a title from a parent. And if you have that title, you have it for your whole life and you can pass it on. But I think it's ridiculous because being in the House of Lords means you can weigh in on Parliament and you have like somewhat of a say in how the country's run because you inherited the title. You didn't earn it.
Yeah, because 700 years ago, your ancestor became a lord. So now you get to weigh in on actual politics.
Yeah, but that's why I don't agree with it. I just don't.
Nonsense.
But I should also mention that most of these hereditary peerages can only be passed down from fathers to sons.
Ugh.
Which is just bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. And as of last year, none of the hereditary peers were women. There's 92 of them, and the only female hereditary peer, she either retired or died. I think she might have retired. So now there are none. It's all men. Which is great, because, you know, that's worked so well in the past, having men run everything. Anyway, as of 1445, we have the first Lord Glamis. Wonderful. This next piece of Glamis Castle history is possibly the most horrifying and creepy and horrible. It really gave me the creeps, so just prepare yourself. So we're in 1486, so 40 years later. About 100 years after the first Sir John was given the castle.
Yep.
Are you still with me?
I'm with you. Okay. It's fine.
Okay. So you probably know this, but Scottish history is full and littered with clan feuds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's always fighting with each other and double-crossing each other and stealing from each other. That's how it goes. That's just the way it is.
That's how we do up here.
Yeah. In 1486, the Ogilvies and the Lindsays were basically at war with each other. There were two families that hated each other. I couldn't find out why.
Who even knows?
I tried, but my research skills are not entirely up to par. I couldn't find that out. And who was in the middle of this feud?
Lord Glamis.
Lord Glamis.
Glamis.
Yeah, he was pally with the Lindsays. They got on really well, but he also tried to stay on the good side of the Ogilvies, because it was in his best interest to do so. And he kind of managed up until then to sort of play both and not really have to take a side. But in 1486, things had gotten really, really bad between the two families. And it was then that the Ogilvies actually appeared at Glamis Castle. And they were begging for protection from the Lord against the Lindsays. They wanted just to come into the castle and be hidden so that they couldn't be killed. So Lord Glamis is in a bit of a bind. So what would you have done?
What would I have done? Oh my god.
Knowing his situation.
I don't even know if I can hypothetically choose someone's death or life.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like it's a complex decision and one that requires a lot of thought.
Yeah, it's not... I can't answer. I just can't.
Well, do you want to hear what Lord Glamis did?
Sure.
He invited them in, saying, yep, of course, I'll hide you, I'll protect you, in you come. And he took them down to the cellar. And in the cellar, there was a hidden chamber that nobody really knew about.
Otherwise, it's just a chamber.
Well, yeah. There's logic there. But, you know, like, classic move, old castle, there's a hidden room that nobody knows about. He took them down there and he ushered them in and he said, this is hidden, no one's going to know you're here. So all the Ogilvies pile in. He told them they'd be safe. He turned round, he shut the door and he locked them in. You can imagine being the Ogilvies in there, you might feel a bit of relief because you've been on the run. You finally have a bit of protection. Nobody knows you're there. Nobody knows that this room exists. So the Lindsays aren't going to get them. But unfortunately for the Ogilvies, Lord Glamis was a much better pal to the Lindsays than he ever was to them. He got round his problem of keeping everyone happy by locking them in this chamber and then leaving them there.
Very nice.
He never came back to let them out. never came back. So the Ogilvies died in there.
Ugh.
That's why this story really gave me the creeps. It's just awful.
Yeah, that is horrendous. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Ugh. Right? That's what I did when I was reading it on my own. I was like, oh, God. So we'll be talking about this a little bit later. But in my mind, that's one of the worst things that happened that's associated with the castle.
That's fair. That's truly horrific. Oh. Grim.
It's so cruel.
Yeah.
It would have been kinder just to kill them.
I think so.
Or just leave them outside.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been kinder.
Yeah. Than putting them in a room together with no food,
to water. Starve. So yeah. So now we're going to jump ahead to 1537. Hooray. So we're about 100 years in the future. 1537. James V is now King of Scotland.
Hmm.
So we're getting sort of closer to present day. John Leon is the 6th Lord Glamis.
Okay. I'm getting through them.
Yeah. And he married a woman called Janet Douglas. But King James had serious beef with the Douglases. Mm. They didn't get on. The Douglases didn't like him. They didn't respect him as king. So, problems there. In 1528, Sir John had actually died. And Janet was accused of poisoning him. And I couldn't see any evidence for this, other than the fact that her husband had died. That's it. But she was eventually cleared of these accusations, and then she was free to marry her second husband, which she did. And she kept ownership of Glam's Castle.
Oh.
But things didn't get better for Janet. Her brothers were accused of conspiracies against the crown and just treason, mm-hmm. basically. King James knew of her brothers and really hated the family. And in 1537, Janet was accused of communicating with her brothers and conspiring with them, scheming against the king. And she was actually accused of plotting to poison the king, which is a big deal
when
the king is basically sent from God.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the king has an outrageous amount of power. But there's no evidence of it. Absolutely none. It's basically just a personal vendetta against the Douglas family. But this didn't matter. She was taken to Edinburgh Castle and kept in the castle dungeon. And like I said, King James didn't have any evidence for what he was accusing her of. So what do you think he did to find some?
Did he consult a soothsayer?
Nope.
Did he just make something up? Just write some letters and then be like, oh, she wrote these letters.
Not quite, no.
Nothing? Just condemned her anyway?
He decided to torture all of her friends and family.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Because whatever someone said under torture would totally be legitimate and honest. But even then, he didn't really have anything of any substance. And then, almost as if by magic, Janet was accused of witchcraft. Witchcraft! It started as treason and then somehow magically turned into witchcraft, which was a serious crime at this time. So Janet was burned at the stake in Edinburgh on Castle Hill on the 17th of July 1537, with absolutely no evidence that she ever did anything wrong.
Wow.
But then the final insult was that after she had been literally burned, King James took Glam's Castle. He seized the property and he lived in it.
Oh, I wonder why he could have gotten her out of the way.
Exactly.
Isn't that a good thing she was a witch? That was lucky.
I know, because he got this castle to live in.
Yeah. It's hugely strategic and significant castle.
Mm-hmm. And he kept Glam's Castle for himself until he died. And he died in 1542, and that's when it went back to the Leon family, who had had it before. Isn't that awful?
That is awful.
Made me angry reading that one.
Yeah.
Because like her only crime was basically just existing.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was part of this family that he just didn't like. And she had property that he wanted.
That's rough.
Oh, it made me so angry.
Yeah.
So as time went on, Glam's Castle was host to royalty and lots of major historical figures throughout history. Mary Queen of Scots stayed at the castle at one time. One of the Earls of Strathmore was part of King James VI and First's court in London when he became king.
Hmm.
So he's King James the Sixth and First, because mm-hmm. he was the first king of Scotland and England, I believe.
Yes, I remember that from school.
So he had both. He was King James the Sixth in Scotland, King James the First in England,
yes,
I believe, or the other way around. Oliver Cromwell's troops occupied Glamis during the English Civil War.
Yeah.
King James the Eighth and Third, who is the old pretender, the king that the Jacobites supported,
mm-hmm.
visited the castle. And then the Duke of Cumberland's troops, who were fighting the Jacobites, occupied the castle 30 years later. So it's a real hub. They
yeah.
have so many people coming and going. And, you know, like, the Duke of Cumberland was fighting against the Jacobites. But 30 years before, the Jacobite, or the king that the Jacobites supported, had visited the castle.
Like, so weird.
It's funny how time just, like, it almost doesn't matter what side you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Time passes and people come and go.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a blog post for someone recently, which was, did they enjoy coffee in castles? It was a blog about castles. I think it's castlesandturrets.com. And yeah, I wrote a little history post about coffee.
Huh.
And they did, because coffee came to the UK in like 1550. And there was a coffee house opened in 1650. So I was like, oh, they might have not had like full like castle warfare. But while Oliver Cromwell was doing his thing, they could have had coffee inside their castles at the same time.
Well, you know what? That means that King James V, who burned Janet Douglas at the stake, never had coffee.
I know.
He, frankly, is what he deserves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He died 8 years before that.
Yep.
So he can get stuffed. Arsehole. In 1767, Sir John, who is the ninth Lord Glamis, married a woman named Mary Eleanor Bowes. Which is important because this is when the family name changes from Leon to Bowes Leon.
Oh.
And it sounds like a minor change, but it is important. It's something I'm going to come back to. So now we're in 1900. I hope you're not getting travel sick.
No, I think this travelling through time is fine. Because we're still stationary in space. So.
Okay. You can manage one, but not two.
Yeah, if we're going both dimensions, through space and time, then it's just too much. We find ourselves in the Star Trek and it's just a lot.
Well, we're now with the 14th Lord Glamis. This is why I say it get confusing, because they're all called Lord Glamis or John.
I was going to say, they're all Sir John and Lord Glamis. I'm like, oh man.
Well, so
unimaginative.
I've tried to keep the numbers in so that at least,
yeah, there's, you know, some reference.
Yeah. So his wife gave birth to a baby girl in 1900.
Was she called John?
Lady Elizabeth Bowes Leon.
Hmm.
Now, do you recognise this name at all?
Elizabeth Bowes. No.
This little girl would grow up to become queen.
Hmm.
She married Prince Albert, who was known as Bertie. And his brother abdicated the throne, and then he became king. She became Queen Consort Elizabeth to his King George the Sixth. He's the king that the King's Speech is based on. And is the father of our current queen.
Oh.
So Lady Elizabeth is the queen mother.
Oh. And she was the daughter of a Lord Glam.
Yes.
Wow.
So Lord Glam's castle was her childhood home. That's where she grew up. And her dad was Lord Glam's. And he married her mother, and they had several children. And then she met Prince Albert, as he was known at the time. They fell in love, got married, never thinking that they would play the role that they did. But then his brother abdicated, and then he became king.
Wow.
So Princess Margaret, the Queen's sister, was born at Glamis Castle.
Hmm.
She was the first princess, first royal baby to be born in Scotland in like 600 years.
Oh, it's a weird thought.
So there you go. When I put all that together, my mind was kind of blown.
Yeah, that is really weird. And I don't know why, but that is really weird.
Now, I'm trying not to laugh and be mean. But when I was doing the research for this and I looked at the Glamis Castle website, they are hugely proud and forward about the fact that this is the Queen Mother's childhood home. It's all over the website. They're definitely super pro-royals, pro-royal family. And I noticed that I found it a bit weird at first before I put two and two together that the site was super accurate and careful about using full official royal titles anytime that a royal's name was brought up. So I was like, oh wow, like that's, they're super keen.
Yeah, very official.
Mm-hmm. But there's also a little introduction video to the castle on the website. And it's, there's a woman in it called Mary Pamela McCorkadale. And she was the wife of the 17th Lord Glamis.
Okay.
And I think this is because the 18th Lord Glamis had three marriages and all of his divorces were really messy. So I don't think they wanted him on the website.
Sort of breeze past him.
So like she's an older woman. And she's presenting to the camera like the Queen does whenever she gives a speech.
Oh no.
I kid you not. She's like, she's sitting very primly and like, it's been set up that like she's in the home, but she's surrounded by all these deliberately placed photos of her family, the way the Queen does in like her Christmas speech.
Oh.
And then she like says, oh, I want to point out this photo of me and my grandchildren. And it's almost identical to the one of the Queen with all her great grandchildren.
That's pretty weird.
It's so weird. I saw it and just went, oh my God. Like, it's like they're clinging to the royal family in whatever capacity they can. And it seems like titles and things like that are very important to these people.
God, I can't even imagine that. I've never seen the Queen give a speech.
No?
Nope. Never watched. No interest whatsoever.
I'll try and find photos and I'll show you the video if you like.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, they'll be in the show notes and possibly on Instagram.
So can you go and, not when it's not COVID, can you go and visit this castle?
Yes, you can. You can take, I was going to get to this, but you can take tours of the castle, guided tours. Some parts of the castle are open, but the castle is technically still their family home, so some parts are private because people are living there.
I think that might be the same at Connor. I remember going somewhere in school that was like that, visiting a castle.
Yeah, I think quite a lot of them are. But yeah, you can tour Glamis Castle when like, COVID isn't a factor.
Yeah.
So I kept researching the website and I kept noticing all of this weird stuff. Just the way that they were presenting how important it was that the Queen Mother lived there. And I found a timeline on the site, which was great and it was really helpful. It laid everything out for me. But in the timeline, it said nothing about like the World Wars or anything. So I assumed, it didn't even pop in my head. It was just like nothing must have happened then.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a section of the site dedicated to the Queen Mother's biography. it just kept getting worse. But it's only in her biography section that I found out that the castle was used as a convalescent hospital for soldiers. That wasn't in the timeline.
What?
Because they've only mentioned it to say how much the Queen Mother helped with all the soldiers.
Oh. Well, what does convalescent mean?
Like, they're going there for rest and to recover.
Ah, okay.
So it's not like a... It's not just a hospital. It's like a...
Rehabilitation somewhat.
I think so, yeah. But yeah, they only mentioned it to talk about her, not about the experience of the soldiers, or...
Why would you not... Why in a timeline would that not come up? Like, that's something you'd be really proud of.
Exactly.
I thought you were going to say they were, like, Nazi sympathisers or something if they just hadn't mentioned it. I'm like, oh, God, what did whatever lord that was do? But
no, they just didn't say it.
Weird.
But they did to say what a great job that Elizabeth did. And, you know, doing what a decent person did and what lots of people did at the time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't in the timeline of the castle. I thought it was a really disrespectful way to frame history.
That is really weird.
But, you know, like, maybe that's what I'm doing. I don't know. I'm retelling history in the way that I see fit.
Yeah.
But it struck me as really weird that that's where they talked about it being the hospital.
Yeah.
In her biography. So, yeah, you can take tours around Glamis Castle. You can have lunch or you can get coffee in the cafe at the castle, which has been built inside the Victorian kitchen.
Hmm.
And the kitchen's so big, you can have a cafe in it.
That's really cool. Oh, so you can have coffee in a castle.
Yes, well, you can then. And you can get a Queen Mother afternoon tea.
I don't want to.
I don't either. It was very in my face.
Yeah. We've talked about it before, like, I'm not a royalist, but I'm not an anti-royalist. I just don't care. Like, they're there. It's fine. I'm
just not bothered.
It causes no emotion one way or the other. It's just a thing.
Well, whoever built this website is very emotional. I do also want to mention that the current Lord Glamis, the 19th Lord Glamis, is a man called Simon Bowes Leon, and he's an absolute piece of shit.
Mm.
And I know that, like, I said that I was trying not to laugh because I didn't want to offend anybody. I am okay with offending him because he's a piece of shit. So last month, February 2021, he was charged with sexually assaulting a woman who was staying at Glamis Castle to attend an event that he was hosting. He forced his way into her room while she was sleeping. And in my mind, if you sexually assault someone, you're a piece of shit. End of story. Like, it doesn't matter who you are or how much money you have or how closely related to the Queen you are. If you sexually assault someone, you're a piece of shit.
Yep.
So that's all I want to say about him, because he's a piece of shit. But I thought it was important to bring up. I didn't want to just gloss over and give him the benefit of me glossing over it because it's uncomfortable.
Disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting. Awful human being. And that's all I want to say about him. I don't want to give him the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
So, roughly, that's the history of Glamis Castle.
Hmm.
1,000 years of history condensed into how many? 43 minutes.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Glamis Castle is also on the back of Scottish £10 notes.
Oh.
So you've probably seen it without knowing that you've seen it. They put it on the back of the £10 note in 1987.
There you go. Makes sense if it's that significant.
Well, yeah, a lot has happened there. And it's been host to a lot of important figures and events.
It must be one of the older castles. It was built in 1300. Because when I was looking up castles to find when they were relative to coffee, a lot of them were like later than that. They're like 1600 and 1700.
Well, I think it kind of depends, because a lot of the castles that we have or have ruins of are in strategically important places that have always had some kind of fortification.
That makes sense.
So it kind of depends on your definition of castle.
Hmm. I see.
Just because, like, some places have had a human presence and have had fortification since long before 1600 and 1700.
That does make a lot of sense. I think the Wikipedia article I was looking at was that the physical castle building is still there.
Yeah.
As we know it.
Yeah.
And be maintained and stuff. And it said if they were renovated.
I don't know. I don't know if this is the oldest. Because as far as, like, castles go generally, I don't have a huge knowledge.
No.
I think they're all so different.
Yeah. It's so ranging, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Still interesting, though. Still a very long time.
Yeah. But would this really be the Generally Spooky podcast if things didn't get a little spooky?
Spooky. Just that was it.
I mean, yeah, that's it. That's it. No more.
That hidden chamber was pretty grim.
Yeah.
When you were, like, building up where the cafe was, I was in my head going, not the hidden chamber, not the hidden chamber. Don't put the cafe in the hidden chamber.
No.
I also, back to that, I don't know Lindsay's a second name, really. Have you ever known anyone?
No.
Like, anyone with Lindsay as a second name?
I don't know if I've known anyone, like, personally, but I know it as a second name.
I don't know it at all. Because I know Ogilvy. Ogilvy.
Ogilvy.
Ogilvy. So maybe they got the last laugh after all.
This is in the Lowlands, remember?
Oh, that's true.
So clans have a geographical area that they're most common in or where they come from.
Mm.
So they're different between the Highlands and the Lowlands. So maybe it's more of a Lowland name.
That would make sense.
Maybe. I don't. You get maps that show you where the clans used to be.
Yeah.
Although I think a lot of them are bullshit.
Probably.
But yeah. So yeah, now I've given you the history of the castle, I'm going to tell you about the ghost stories and the mysteries surrounding the castle.
Excellent, excellent.
Are you excited?
I am excited. And it seems like we're going to get this into one podcast.
Yes, I think so. I think it's going to be a long episode, but I think we'll do it.
We're going to do it. We should have to talk really fast.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, we shouldn't do that. That's a terrible idea.
So I'm going to talk you through them, and I'm going to save the most interesting and most famous one for last.
Okay, okay.
So I'm going to tell you that now so you can like build up your excitement and get pumped.
So will we have theories, I guess, in this one?
Theories for the last one, kind of. But it's difficult with like ghost and spooky stories to have like proper theories. You know, like with Flan and Isle Lighthouse, that was our last episode. It's easier to develop theories because something physically happened and there must have been physical factors involved.
Mm-hmm.
So you can develop a theory, whereas this is kind of, it's a ghost story. But for the last story that I have to tell you, there are possible theories.
That's fine. Just so if I think of anything, I'll say it as we go. I won't save it to the end and be like, oh.
No. Just fire away. So there are stories of a servant boy who's been seen sitting on a stool outside the Queen Mother's old bedroom.
That Queen Mother, she's again.
And apparently he trips people up as they walk past him.
Hmm.
And there's a couple of theories about who he is and what happened to him. But one of them is that he was a really badly behaved boy who was either living or working in the castle. And he was told to sit on the stool and not to move until he was told he could, as punishment. But whoever told him to wait there forgot about him. And they left him there all night. And when they went back in the morning, when they remembered, they found that he had frozen to death.
Oh, God.
But he was still sitting on the stool because he knew he wasn't allowed to leave.
Oh.
So that's one theory about who he is, this little boy ghost who's sitting on a stool, tripping people up.
Oh, man, that's horrible.
Mm.
You kind of forget that that's how cold it would be. Yeah. Because it's just, like, if there's not a room with a fire in it, it's going to be as cold as outside, more or less.
Well, he wasn't even in a room, he was in the hall.
Oh, yeah, so he wouldn't have a fire. There's just wind coming through brick. And if it's winter, that's going to be fucking cold. Ooh.
So he's ghosty number one.
Oh, like
ghosty number two is a young maid who apparently haunts the castle and the grounds. And apparently she discovered a terrible secret about one of the lords that she worked for.
I'm sure they were in abundance. Mm. Terrible secrets.
And she threatened to expose him to everyone. And the lord wasn't very happy about that, so he ordered that she be punished. But she tried to escape, so she bolted, but was captured by the guards, and the story goes that they cut out her tongue and then killed her. And she's been seen a few times by a few different people. Sometimes they just see a girl running across the grounds and she just vanishes. Some people have seen her with blood spilling from her mouth, which is awful.
That is.
But a member of the Bowes Leon family, the Queen Mother's brother, apparently saw her, and he said he was walking through the grounds of the castle when he saw a girl looking out at him from one of the castle windows, gripping the bars behind the window, looking out at him. But then she vanished as if someone had pulled her away from the window.
Ooh.
So she didn't just disappear, it looked as if she was yanked away and she was just gone.
Grim.
Which was creepy. But we can put a pin in this story because I will revisit it in a later story.
Ooh.
So put a pin in that one, but I'm going to take the pins out of a couple of things I told you about in the history. We're going to come back to these now.
Oh, okay.
Remember the Ogilvies?
Yes, I believe I do.
Well, I tried my best to do as much research into this as possible, but I couldn't find any exact dates of when this happened. So it had roughly the year. But I also couldn't find any exact dates of when the room was rediscovered.
Oh.
And it came out that this had happened. But apparently the family who were living in the castle at the time and the staff who were working in the castle at the time were hearing all of these noises from down below, like in the cellar. And they had no idea what it was. They kept going down there to look. There's nothing down there. There's nothing out of place. No animals that you might think have gotten in there trying to get food and stuff. Nothing. But they actually broke through one of the walls in the cellar. And that was when they found that part of the cellar had been completely walled up.
Mm.
And this was the room where the Ogilvies were, which became known as the Room of Skulls.
Whoa.
And that seemed to be where all the noise was coming from. Even though there's just skeletons in there.
That's grim.
But, you know, it's the nature of these stories. I couldn't find any exact dates, information. With something like this, it's always going to morph and change over time. So I can't say with 100% truth that that is exactly how it happened and what happened, because I have no evidence.
A story, isn't it?
But now, since breaking through into this room, there's lots of stories of more noises from the cellar and shadow people and all kinds of things in the cellar where they had died and been locked in because they were betrayed by the family.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's really creepy.
That is really creepy. And I think it's just, you feel that the most, knowing what happened to them and how they were betrayed.
Yeah, I think just on an emotional level, I think that would make you uneasy.
Yeah.
Knowing, even if there's just like a tiny chance that someone went through that kind of pain,
mm-hmm.
it makes you feel something. Even if you don't believe in ghosts, if that would weigh heavy on you, I think.
Yeah. I mean, obviously freezing to death in a stool is also horrendous.
Yes.
As is getting your tongue ripped out. But
there's something about it.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, ghosts in the cellar.
Ghosts in the cellar.
As you'd expect if something like that did actually happen.
And it's a castle. Like, why do you have a cellar if not to have some ghosts in it?
I think they just put ghosts in. We're a castle. We have to have ghosts in the cellar.
There's got to be some ghosts in the cellar. A ghoul in the loft.
So now I'm going to take a pin out of Janet Douglas's story. So remember, she was charged with witchcraft.
Yes.
Burned at the stake in Edinburgh.
Yep.
Well, her ghost has reportedly been seen in the chapel of Glam's Castle. A lot of people have reported seeing a woman in the chapel, sitting praying or just sitting quietly by herself. And she's been seen so often, and the story is so like revered by the family. There's a seat saved for her in the chapel that has a little plaque for her, and nobody's allowed to sit in the seat. So even when family members are using the chapel, as they do like for certain events and things, nobody sits in that seat because that's where she sits.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I was thinking she betrayed the family, but no,
no.
I was like, oh, why would they like her? But yeah, I'm getting confused. Oh.
She was accused and then taken away,
mm-hmm.
and then had the castle taken away from the family.
Yes, but then the castle was given back. Yeah,
it was. When King James died, the family got the castle back.
Yes. Not that makes up for it.
Just But it's a form of justice, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's seen so often, and she's known as the White Lady, and she's seen in the chapel, so there's a seat for her in the chapel.
But how did she get there from Edinburgh?
Well, that's the thing. She didn't die at Glam's.
Mm.
She died in Edinburgh. But I like to think of all the stories of Glam's Castle, I like to hope that this one's true. Because it means she's found some measure of peace and she's back home.
Mm-hmm.
Where I imagine she wanted to be, just left in peace. So I like to think that that one's true. I hope that one's true.
Yeah, yeah.
So another famous legend is about a man called the Earl of Beardy. And there's a few different versions of this story, so I've kind of had to a point, pick a version, because I can't tell all three or four different versions of the story.
That makes sense. Was he Beardy John?
No.
Oh.
This supposedly happened in the 15th century, and Earl Beardy was visiting Lord Glam's with another couple of men that they knew. And he had a really bad reputation. He was very angry, he was violent, he was rude, and he was a drunk. He was just nasty. And he treated people really badly. He treated the staff really badly. Like, apparently, he threw staff, like, downstairs.
Oh,
and
God.
There's one story I saw, but it was only in one place, that he made a servant boy, like, run as if, like, he was an animal. And then he and his friends and dogs hunted him like an animal. I only saw that in one place, so I don't know. But he was at Glam's Castle, and after having lots of drinks and getting very drunk, he shouts that he wants to play cards, and that they should play cards. But the other men refuse. They don't want to play because it's the Sabbath.
Hmm.
It's Sunday. And I think one of the servants approaches him and says that it's a Sabbath, you shouldn't play cards today. But Earl Beardy gets really angry at being confronted, and his friends have said no, so he starts shouting. And he says that he'll play cards whenever he wants. And he'd play until doomsday if he could, or he'd play with the devil himself if no one will play cards with him.
Charming.
Yeah. So he storms off to his room in a really, really bad mood.
Goes off in an actual huff.
Yeah. But he's in his room when a tall, dark stranger enters his room and sits at the table. It's the devil himself. And he asks Earl Beardy if he still needs a cards partner.
Beardy. You said Beardy.
Oh, Beardy. Beardy. He asks Earl Beardy if he still needs a cards partner, because he'd be quite happy to play with him. He doesn't care that it's the Sabbath.
Well, you wouldn't.
Obviously, because it's the devil. And Earl Beardy is happy enough to play with him because he's getting what he wants.
Mm.
So they decide to bet on the game to make it interesting.
Naturally.
The devil, he pulls out a bag of rubies and says if Beardy wins, he'll get the bag of rubies. But if Beardy loses, then he forfeits his soul.
Classic.
To the devil.
The devil.
The devil. Beardy agrees.
What could go wrong?
I know. Historically, this has always gone well for people.
I know. If the devil comes up to you and says, do you want to bet? You're like, hell yeah. The devil always loses. That's the saying. He never uses trickery. Always comes up in your favour.
So after a while, servants hear commotion from the room. And there's lots of yelling, shouting, banging. And eventually the curiosity just gets too much for them. So a servant peers through the keyhole to see what's going on. But they can't see anything. There's just this great blinding white light. But then the Earl throws the door open and he's furious that the servant's been spying on him. So he goes absolutely mental. But while Earl Beardy's back is turned, the stranger disappears. And he's taken Beardy's soul. And Earl Beardy died 5 years later.
Hmm.
Not at the castle.
I thought it was going to be like more immediately after. But oh, dang.
Yeah. So today, there's lots of noises, like stomping, shouting. They're all heard in the West Tower of the castle, which is supposedly where the card game took place. And lots of people have seen a bearded man in the tower. Lots of reports of children waking up in the night with a bearded man standing over the bed looking at them. And apparently it's Earl Beardy, unable to rest because he no longer has a soul.
That would make sense. Now, just to be clear, he's not Lord Beardy, like, as a nickname, because he has a beard.
I don't know.
Presumably.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Again, because I can't... There were a couple of guesses as to who he was and which lord this actually was, but...
Oh, okay.
There were so many different options.
Mm-hmm.
And guesses. I was like, well, I don't know.
Just pick him one.
Because then some people were treating it as if Earl Beardy was his name, and that was his surname.
I thought that's what you meant.
Initially. That's what I took it to be.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Beardy.
But that's the story of Earl Beardy and the devil.
Yeah, wee devil.
I have one last spooky story about Glam's Castle. We have arrived at the last, and I think I've saved the best for last.
Ooh.
I'm about to tell you about the monster of Glam's Castle.
Ho ho! Here we go. Is it 8 feet tall, 5 legs, 7 horns, 4 eyes?
I mean, that's a lot of numbers.
It's quite the picture of something, isn't it?
So, the 11th Lord Glam's.
Yep.
Okay, it's the best way to keep track of them, because initially when I wrote all this out, I had all of their names, and just, I cannot keep them straight.
No, and I'm terrible with the names, so that never would have worked.
So the 11th Lord Glam's, we're currently on at the 19th, so this is the 1800s. He married a woman named Charlotte Grimstead in 1820.
I mean, that's a bad omen in himself.
They got married.
No, the Grim. She's actually Grim.
Grim. But then the following year, 21st of October 1821, she gave birth to a son. But reports show that the baby died on the same day that he was born.
That's a shame.
So born 21st of October 1821, died the same day. However, a lot of people believe that this baby didn't die that day.
Oh-ho.
The story goes, and lots of rumours show, that this child was in some way horrifically deformed and twisted in body. And even though the child was technically the legitimate heir to the castle and the title and everything, the family knew that they couldn't let him take over the legacy. It couldn't happen, just based on the way that the child looked. So they kept the child a secret. They said that he had died, and they kept him walled up in a secret part of the castle that nobody had access to and nobody ever saw him.
Jeez, oh.
Mm-hmm. So the legend of the monster, the man walled up in the castle, was supposedly passed down from father to son on the son's 21st birthday. And it was only passed on to whoever was going to inherit the title of Lord Glamis. So really only father to son, father to eldest son, or whoever was going to inherit. And lots of people noticed that the personality of soon-to-be lords changed significantly after their 21st birthday. They became a lot, just like a lot more sober, a lot heavier. And over the course of many, many years, there were lots of sightings and strange things that happened at the castle that added to the legend of this monster that lived in the castle. And it's a shame because everything I read only referred to him as a monster. But he was still a man, if he did exist.
Oh yeah, if he grew up and was healthy, relatively speaking. Just a person.
Yeah, that was a bit mean.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through some of the supposed sightings and things that people said during this time.
I think that's a lot less nice than in About Time, where they, the men find out their 21st birthday that they can travel through time.
I love that movie.
Such a good movie.
Love that movie.
I'd much rather find out that than my grandfather walled up a human being.
Walled up his own son.
Yeah.
Not just a human being, his own son.
Deemed him a monster and then just took care of him in the basic manner and forgot about him. Travel through time.
Much better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're doing that today, so maybe that didn't happen.
So, Sir Horace Rumbold was a British diplomat. I know. He was a British diplomat, and he visited the castle in 1850. And later when he left, he told a story of the Countess, who was the wife of the 12th Lord Glamis.
Yep.
So this is the next lord, his wife. So apparently her, like a lot of the wives that followed, was really frustrated that there was this big secret that her father-in-law had told her husband. That she knew there was something, she knew this was a, there was a secret, and she didn't know what it was. And she was really aggravated.
It would be.
Yeah. You would have no idea. And she kind of, she gathered some of the details and kind of figured out roughly what was going on. She knew enough to know that there could be secret rooms in the castle, and there was something in there that she didn't know about and she didn't understand. So she had a whole load of guests at the castle, and her husband was away. So she got them all to help her try to find the secret room while her husband was gone. And I thought that the way that they went about this was quite clever. It was a huge party of guests, and they all went round the entire castle, and they hung towels and sheets out of every window that they found.
Oh, very nice.
So they went all the way round, and then once they had finished, they met in the grounds, and they went all the way around the castle, and they could see towels and sheets hanging out of the windows.
That's very logical.
Except a couple.
I mean, you just mentioned a story of someone at a window getting yanked away.
Yes, exactly. I'll get to that in a minute. So, there were a couple of windows, I don't know exactly where, in the castle that had no towels, no sheets hanging from them. So, even though they had been around the entire building, they hadn't reached these windows, which suggested that they couldn't be found.
Oh dear.
And yeah, I mentioned earlier the maid ghost.
Yep.
At a window.
At a window.
Who had discovered a terrible secret about the Lord.
Oh, shit.
So there's a supposed link there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I don't know, they may have just been mashed together.
Maybe. Can't ask her, so.
Well, that's rude.
She would be able to tell us anyway.
You have no respect. It's a good thing you don't believe in ghosts, otherwise they would have you. So they had done all this, they hung out all the sheets and all the towels, but that was when the Lord came home earlier than they expected. And he was furious that his wife had done this.
Mm.
Absolutely furious. And apparently their relationship was never the same. They got divorced, and she spent the rest of her life in Italy. Yeah. She wasn't welcome there anymore.
Oh man. I mean, it sounds nice.
Not if you're an exile.
Mm, that's true.
After a horrible divorce. I remember, this is 1800s. I don't know exactly when they got divorced. Divorce wasn't fashionable in any way.
That's true.
If you were a divorced woman, you weren't in a great spot.
Because
People are shitty that way.
Great coffee, though. In Italy.
I was going to say, from divorced women? Who are you having coffee with?
So I just offered divorcees friendship.
Excuse me? Who do you have on the side?
It's a secret. My dad told me. What? Nothing.
We'll move on. We're going to talk about this later. So in 1865, 15 years later, there were workmen at the castle. Because during this entire history I've been telling you about, the castle, you know, it was renovated and things were added all the time to have the current castle that you can go visit now.
Makes sense.
So there were workmen at the castle at this time. And one of the workmen saw something strange. He ended up at a door. And when he looked through the door, there was a really long passage. And something felt a bit off, just about the way it looked or the way it felt. And then he saw something moving at the end of the passage. But he couldn't work out what it was that he saw.
Hmm.
He didn't say it was a person. He didn't know what it was he saw. So obviously something about the way it moved was strange. And it was bad enough that he reported it to his boss. So, you know, you have like a foreman, mm-hmm. someone who's in charge. He reported it to his boss and said, there's something in there. And I don't know what I saw. So his boss took it on board, yada yada. But it was shortly after this that this workman was encouraged to emigrate to Australia.
Oh no.
With his travel fully funded.
Jeez, oh.
And he left.
Wow. When were prisoners going to Australia? I think about this time. Yeah.
I'm really not sure. My Australian history is very poor.
I'm not sure.
I suppose it's not Australian history, it's our problem. That was something that we shouldn't have done.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit unfair saying, oh, it's Australian history. No.
Yep.
No, that's our terrible history. That's something that our country did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he emigrated.
Fuck.
And he was gone.
Ew.
See, that's a lot of power.
That is a lot of power. Man.
Mm-hmm.
So, is this within realm where that person could still be alive?
Yes, because the baby apparently died after its birth in 1821.
Yep.
So this is 1865.
Okay.
So
44 yeah. years later.
So it is feasible.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're in 1870. And a famous singer of that time was a woman called Virginia Gabriel. And she stayed at the castle for quite a while. She had an extended stay. I don't know if she was there as like entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Or if she was a friend of the family. But she wrote a lot about her stay at the castle. She stayed a long time and she wrote about her stay, and a lot of the reports of the supposed monster and strange things happening at the castle come from her.
Oh, interesting.
She wrote everything down and she saw a lot while she was there. But one event that stood out in her memory, and of all the things I saw about what she wrote, this one was intriguing. And it happened in the wintertime, and it concerns the factor of the estate. So the factor is basically the person who runs the estate for the lord.
That makes sense.
Like, a factor would gather rent and would just keep things running, but does a different job to a gamekeeper.
Yeah, they're just kind of the manager of the estate.
Yeah, he's concerned with the estate as a whole. That's his job. And this man was called Andrew Ralston. And he was kind of a typical Scot. He was just kind of quiet and grumpy and didn't say much and generally had bad temper from what I could see. But he ended up being at the castle really late one night. And this is in the wintertime, and there were really bad snow drifts. It was coming down, it was really heavy. The weather was atrocious, it was really dark. So the lord begged Ralston to stay. So, like, they were all together, and you know, Virginia was there, and she sees, he's begging him to stay. He's like, don't go out there. Ralston's house was a mile away, so he lived on the estate, but it wasn't particularly close. So he would have had to travel the mile to get home in this really bad weather in the dark. But Ralston refused to stay in the castle overnight. Completely refused. He was not staying. So far that he ordered staff from the castle to help him dig a path to his house that night. He chose to have all of the staff dig a mile-long path from the castle to his home rather than stay in the castle overnight.
Damn. Well, makes you think when, like, you have a shitty minimum wage job, like, oh man, this is so annoying. Like, well, at least someone can't make you dig a path through the snow.
I know.
So they can go home, and then you have to dig your way back to your home.
Because, you know, assumedly the snow is still falling.
Oh yeah, like, it's gonna, there'll be somewhat of the path you left behind.
Now, there is an argument that, you know, maybe he had a different reason for not wanting to be in the castle. Maybe he just liked his own company. But Virginia wrote, and I have this in quotes, Lady Strathmore once confessed to Mr. Ralston her great anxiety to unravel the mystery. So the mystery of this room that nobody knows about. He looked earnestly at her and said very gravely, Lady Strathmore, it is fortunate that you do not know it and can never know it. For if you did, you would not be a happy woman. Such a speech from such a man is certainly uncanny.
Jeez.
So it seems like he knew something. Whether it was the monster, or there was something that seems like he knew that made him very uncomfortable.
Something tragic happened.
And from the descriptions of the man himself, he seems like he's the type who wouldn't be easily, like, disturbed.
Which lord is that? Don't say Lord Glamis.
It was 1870, so the 12th or the 13th.
Man.
Possibly the 12th, I can't remember.
And that's like 150 years ago. It's not excessively long ago.
1870. I think it's the 12th or the 13th. I can't remember exactly where the dates cross over for inheritance. It was very difficult to keep track of, so I've tried to keep that to a minimum in the story. I've just tried to use the dates.
Doesn't really matter.
Not when they're all called Lord Glamis. Or Glams. I keep saying Glamis. So by the mid-1800s, the story of the monster of Glam's Castle was everywhere. Everywhere. Because it's high society. It's a castle with a monster in it. It just entranced everybody who heard about it. So people were talking about it across Europe. You know, people who came to stay at the castle or people who knew the family, they talked about it. Newspapers in London were reporting about the monster. And even papers in the US were talking about it.
Wow.
It was, I don't want to say it was big news, because there's nothing concrete, but so many people were interested in the story. It was big.
It's a very captivating story. I think that's been in every tale you've told me so far.
Yeah.
It's gone to London News and then the American News, but yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. But that's the only people they really talk to. They didn't really...
Yeah.
Things weren't as globalised, and those were seen as the only major places to spread news, which is nonsense. But anyway, Charles Dickens wrote about the monster in a It's in a journal, but not a diary. A journal, like a published magazine.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They were called journals at this time. He wrote about it in 1880.
Wow. Like a research journal. But not, that wouldn't have been a research journal.
No, a magazine, not a research journal.
Oh, okay.
And not a diary. It's difficult to explain.
Mm-hmm.
Can't explain it. But he wrote, "There's generally much talk of the old story being exploded at last. Gay gallants in lace ruffles, beaux, bucks, bloods and dandies have, until their 21st birthdays, made light of the family mystery. And some have gone so far as to make after-dinner promises to tell the whole stupid story in the smoking room at night. This promise has been made more than once. It's been pledged in Burgundy, in Tokay, in Lafitte, in Champagne, in steaming toddy and in cooling lemon squash. But it has never been kept."
Oh. Well, what could it be?
So it's something that is talked about, and it's to a point talked about by the family, that something exists.
Yeah.
There's something.
There's some secret.
Even, you know, if it's not a monster.
Yeah.
There's something.
Something's coming.
And the family know that word has spread that there's some kind of secret. They're self-aware.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
That is really interesting. That's so weird. Like, what could it be?
Mm-hmm.
I just... What?
Right? The Queen Mother's grandfather. You with me?
Yes.
He was Claude Bowes-Leon. But that was also her father's name. That's why I've differentiated. And I think he was the 13th Lord Glamis.
Mm.
Claude. I'm going to refer to him as Claude for now. He was apparently privy to the mystery. He knew what it was. And a lot of people who knew him said that it seemed to weigh heavy on him. Like, they'd catch him sometimes and he'd be very morose and very sad and he couldn't talk about it. Apparently, once he said to his wife, "I've been into the room, I've heard the secret, and if you wish to please me, you will never mention the subject again."
Jeez, oh.
And that was recorded by someone who was staying at the castle.
Oh.
I can't remember the name. I have it written down in my research. I can't remember the name.
Put that in the show notes, maybe.
Yeah, if you're interested.
Mm.
And also, the Bishop of Brechin. Brechin is, I think it's a town now, but it's quite close to Glamis. He noticed that Claude's spirit seemed heavy.
Mm.
And he noticed it about him. He considered himself his friend. So he offered to help. He just offered to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, like a problem shared and all that. He mm-hmm. just wanted to listen and wanted to help him. But Claude refused. And he went so far as to tell the bishop that there was nobody that could help him.
Man alive, like, what?
What is it?
What is it? Like, what could you see that would do that to you?
You know, like, you can take or leave the accounts that I've given you so far and the things that people have said.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a bishop who was his, like, personal friend.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think he would lie about that?
Well, no, it seems there is some sort of secret going on.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not to do with a monster, or even, like, if that baby grew up. Just, what could it be?
From everything that I could find, it seems that this Claude was the last Lord Glamis to know what the secret was.
I was wondering.
His son, the Queen Mother's father, apparently refused to hear anything about it. He did not want to know. He didn't want to be told.
Very wise.
James Wentworth Day was a writer who was researching and writing a book on the Bowes-Leon family history.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the 1960s. So we're talking a bit later. He stayed at the castle and he spoke to the Queen Mother's father, Claude's son. And he was quite open. He explained that he didn't know anything about it. And he reckoned that the secret had died with his father
mm-hmm.
and possibly with his brother. But his brother was killed during the war.
Oh.
So he never knew what it was. But he thinks whatever it was, it died with them.
Mm.
And rumours swirled, like, into the late 1800s and the early 1900s, that when Claude, the Queen Mother's grandfather,
mm-hmm.
eventually died, the monster, in quotes, had also died at around this time.
Mm.
A lot of newspapers reported that whatever the monster was, it finally died at like quite an old age. And there were a couple of reasons for them thinking that.
I was about to ask, like, why?
Well, it would explain why his son had not been told. Because even though he didn't want to be told, to a point, if you have responsibility for this, you need to know.
Yeah.
But he never knew. So another reason is that the New York Tribune in 1904 published an article, and this is what it said. Glam's castle is to let at a very high rent. The fact that the new Earl of Strathmore should be willing to lease his ancestral historic home suggests that the celebrated mystery in connection with this castle is now at an end.
Hmm.
And the necessity of keeping it secret and secluded, one or more chambers, no longer exists. So if they're renting out the castle, chances are that there's nothing there that they're worried that the renters or lodgers are going to find by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Most people believe that if they believe in the monster, they believe that that he died, and that was when the castle was opened up, because it was safe to do so. Nobody's going to expose the secret because it doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the dates would kind of work out. If it was 1904, then this person, this man, he would have been about 80.
Yeah. So weird. Because even if the person, that the monster person, had some sort of deformity or something, it would get made so much worse over time if they weren't allowed to take care of themselves or go to school or talk to people to learn how to speak.
Well, there were some reports that he was cared for, but it was in secret. So he was looked after, and then sometimes he was allowed to exercise, so like around the castle or in the grounds, but, you know, at night when nobody could see him and things like that. It was all very hush-hush. Nobody really knows if this is true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even really know what I think about it, because it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to come to some kind of decision. That's why I said, like, there's kind of theories for this one and kind of not, because it's all hearsay, really.
Yeah.
Things that people wrote or things that people said.
It seems there was... I believe there was a secret that was passed down.
Yeah, I'd believe it. One of the things I have written in my notes, which I think is interesting, is that although it's a far-fetched story, it seems like the kind of thing that you could create in your head somewhere as atmospheric a place as Glam's Castle.
Mm.
Sir Walter Scott, he was a famous Scottish writer. He stayed at the castle in 1790, and he wrote about his stay there, and what he said was, and I love this, "I must own, as I heard door after door shut, after my conductor had retired, I began to consider myself as too far from the living and somewhat too near to the dead."
Ooh.
Isn't that creepy?
That is creepy.
But you know, like, if you're in that kind of an atmosphere, it'd be very easy to imagine that there's monsters living in hidden rooms that you can't see, or that there's ghosts. You know, your imagination would go mental.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that.
That's really good.
"Began to consider myself as too far from the living and somewhat too near to the dead."
Ooh. Ooh, it gives you chills.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have one more piece of evidence to kind of give weight to at least the theory that there was a secret, if not that there was a deformed member of the family who was locked away.
I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it? But it's good. Mm. It might convince you.
Okay, go on. Let's hear it.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. If you're listening to this and you've watched the latest series of The Crown, you probably know what I'm talking about already, but I know you haven't.
So I have not.
I'll explain. Catherine and Nerissa Bowes-Lyon were the current Queen's first cousins.
Huh.
And they were both born mentally disabled. They struggled a great deal, and they couldn't take care of themselves. They had a lot of issues, a lot of things were difficult for them. And even though the family is seriously wealthy, you know, we've been talking about it this whole time, and they could have provided that these two children and these two women, as they grew up, they could have provided them with whatever they needed.
Mm-hmm.
The family decided to send the sisters to care homes and hospitals after World War I, and they stayed in institutions for the rest of their lives. They were basically ignored their family had nothing to do with them. They mm-hmm. were left in there, forgotten about, because they weren't deemed normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know attitudes were very different in the 1900s, but it tells you a lot about how this family saw reputation.
Yeah.
And appearances. That this happened in the 1900s. That they sent them away. They locked them away, and that nobody saw them again.
Jeez, oh.
So it's feasible that if something very similar had happened
mm-hmm.
100 years previously, they may have dealt with it in like hiding the boy away rather than facing what they saw as ridicule or judgment, mm-hmm. even though it's ridiculous and yeah. it's still your children. But, you know, it happened. Well, and it happened later.
That does compel me.
Mm-hmm. I thought it might. Because that's hard evidence. That's something that did happen.
Yeah. That's fucked.
It is, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. horrible. Absolutely horrible. And that's Glam's Castle.
That's Glam's Castle.
That's everything. That's all of my research. What do you think?
I mean, that's wild. That was a wild ride through history.
I hope it wasn't dull. I hope it wasn't too much.
No, I liked it.
Okay, good.
I'm engaged. I enjoyed it.
I think there's lots that's very interesting.
Yeah, there's lots that's very interesting there.
And I'm especially intrigued by a long-held family secret. And a secret that's been lost to time, because
mm-hmm.
if the son didn't find out, then it's gone.
It's gone. Lost forever. Woofed.
We may never know.
May never know. Damn. It's impressive, because there's a thing that familial wealth tends to only last 3 generations. So it's impressive that they've managed to, keep their shit together for 600 years in this castle.
20 somewhat. Generations.
Yeah.
20.
It's quite commendable, really.
I mean, I would say that if I didn't hear so many terrible things that mm. the family's done.
Yeah.
Over 600 years.
Well, you know, they've done making good people. It's quite impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm conflicted. I've read about an awful lot.
Hmm. That's madness, all of it. Ooh. I mean, it's castles. You expect there to be a long, bloody history. But
it's lots of betrayal and trying to cling to power.
Mm-hmm.
Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Apart from Marcus Aurelius.
God, you Marcus Aurelius. Yeah. God.
He's one of the 5 good kings, or emperors.
Well, the fact that you can only have 5...
I know, it's kind of...
in the course of all history.
The exception proves the rule. Don't know why, though.
Which story did you like the best? Out of the history or the spooks, what did you enjoy?
I mean, enjoy is a strong word.
What were you most...
I think the monster intrigues me the most.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then that poor woman getting her tongue ripped out is very visceral in my imagination.
I feel like I could have probably done a whole episode on the story of the monster.
Mm.
There's so much there, and so many people have written about it since the time that it was supposedly happening up until now. I've read an article by a guy called Mike Dash,
mm-hmm.
and he's done a lot of research. He's compiled a lot of the accounts that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people have talked about it, and a lot of people have speculated. It's a big story.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that I've managed to do it justice by having other stories in this episode, because it's pretty big.
Yeah, it's mega. I wonder who, when you're saying it was to let... Who could rent it?
Oh, I don't know.
Who
I
could
don't,
rent a castle?
I don't even know. I don't think it was the whole building. I'm not sure.
Rent a wing.
Because I know that when the Queen Mother was living there as a kid, they didn't live there all the time. They had 3 different properties. And in true royal family fashion, before she was the royal family, they had a place in Scotland, a place in England, and a place in Ireland.
I mean, that does make sense.
So they moved around a lot, so I wonder if they rented it out while they weren't there.
It would make sense.
Because I was trying to figure it out. I was like, well, they still own it. It's still a family home. Why did they rent it out? But then I saw that. I was like, oh, well, maybe that's why. Maybe they rotated between the three. And
summer vacation rental. Weird one.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know who could afford that.
Who knows? That's quite a lot of the, like, earls and stuff make money now. They rent out their properties for weddings.
Well, I mean, how else is a place like that feasible?
Yeah, like, there's not a lot of money in just being an earl in isolation.
Well, what do you do?
Now that you can't just take land tax from all your constituents.
How do you make money?
And I imagine it's quite expensive to upkeep a castle.
Well, I think that's probably why there's part of the castle that's open to tours. Like, they kind of need to.
Yeah.
A lot of historical buildings need to do that just for the upkeep, mm-hmm. because it's a historical building, so there are rules about the condition you have to keep it in. You have to maintain it because it's a piece of history. So it's not even just your house. It's See, that's what I don't like about castles as homes. Like, to a point, it's not yours, because you need to keep it in certain condition, and you can't ever change anything, because then you ruin the integrity of the history. I'd much rather have a place that I can make mine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, my, like, worst nightmare, being put into high society and gentry and all that, and then having somewhere like that.
I think I'd sooner build a house on the grounds and live there. Somewhere more modern.
Be awful. You're trapped in all these weird obligations.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
Right?
Not jealous in the slightest.
Right. Anyway, thank you for listening if you've made it this far. This is a chonky ep. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I had a lot of fun putting everything together.
I rate this 17 coffins.
Babe.
Well, we shall see you all next week.
Well, I mean, we won't see you.
No.
We won't even really hear you unless you reach out to us. We're just speaking into the void.
Yeah, hoping someone listens. If you are, we hope you enjoyed it. And if you're Sam Heughan, please sponsor us.
Will you stop? I think you've said that every episode.
I have. Let me make sure not to edit it.
If you could rate, review, subscribe, like, share, wherever you're listening, however you listen, however you can support the podcast and help us, it's really appreciated. Mm-hmm. It'd be really great. That's how people find it. If you review it, if you rate it, that's how other people find us. And, you know, there's lots of people who are interested in history. It'd be a shame if they didn't know we existed.
Yeah.
And we'll speak to you next time.
We will indeed. Bye.
Bye.